good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And once again, I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. And that's because of good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then with our friends up at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, who serve New Jersey and the Philadelphia areas. And what a joy it is just to partner together to come and sit at the feet of the Lord and just let Him speak to us heart to heart. And as you know, if you've been with us for any length of time, all of the messages I share are centered around the portraits of God. All of Scripture I see, different Scriptures, are portraits of God. And most recently, we have been walking through a portrait of God that I call, He is our Chief Shepherd. He is our Chief Shepherd. We have 10 takeaways we've been working our way through, and today we're going to wrap it up. The previous 3 weeks covered numbers 1 through 7. Today we'll get through 8 through 10 for those of you that are note takers. But I tell you, I have absolutely been enjoying sharing this with you. This is such an important and touching and personal portrait of God as our Chief Shepherd. And the more we get to know Him through these portraits, we get to know His character, His heart. Well, that's the Christian life, my friends. It's getting to know God, hearing the whispers of God, having an ongoing conversation with God. And so that's what we will be doing today. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 10 as we wind down this series of 4 messages. By the way, just a reminder, as you're making your way to John 10, that all of these broadcasts, the 27-minute broadcasts, are archived on my website at markpg.org. When you go there, just click on the gray box that says Broadcasts, and then click on Portraits of God, that box, when you get there, and then it'll give you a list of all of these messages so you can catch up or hear them again. And so I hope you'll just jot that down, markpg.org. And by the way, at that website, you'll also find 3-minute videos that have portraits of God. You'll find articles that I've written for local periodicals over the last 20 years or so. And you'll find quick guides, outlines on great topics, hot topics and heart topics that are all designed to do one thing: help you hear God. So check it out at markpg.org. And so as we get ready to hear God today, let's talk to God here, as is our custom. Let's go before Him and just ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm just overwhelmed at Your goodness to us. It's an amazing thing as we see portrait after portrait after portrait after portrait throughout the Scriptures of what You're like, getting a glimpse of all of Your ways so that we can get in on what You're doing. And Lord, I pray that as we are wrapping up this particular portrait about how You are our Chief Shepherd, that this portrait, these truths will be embedded in our hearts and souls and transform us from the inside out. That's what You love to do. We get to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank You, Lord, for the privilege I get to come together with my brothers and sisters just to kind of share hearts and compare notes of what I've been learning with You over the years, and I'm still learning as a lifelong learner. So speak today, Lord. We're ready to hear. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, if you have been tuned in before and want to check your notes that you've taken, or if this is the first time you're tuning in, let me get you caught up briefly by going over the first 7 takeaways of how the Lord is our Chief Shepherd. And then we will finish up with the last 3 today. So in looking at the Lord, our chief shepherd, we saw that number one, he will come for us. Is that a cool thought? 1 Peter 5:4 puts it this way, and when the chief shepherd appears, and there it is, chief shepherd. We're under shepherds, those of us that have served as pastors and local churches and moms and dads and that type of thing. We're shepherding the flock that he's given to us, but he's the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So he will come for us, whether it's at our physical death here on earth or at the second coming of Christ. Our chief shepherd's coming for us, and he's going to swoop us up. I love that. No need to fear death at all. It's just Jesus coming to take us home. Secondly, our chief shepherd, number two, guards our souls. 1 Peter 5:25, and you are continually straying like sheep. Okay, that's all of us. We tend to stray like sheep. But it goes on to say, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Isn't it good to know he guards our souls? He doesn't want us to get hurt. He doesn't want us to get ravaged by wolves or fall into ravines or eat poisonous plants or get bit by rattlesnakes. So when we stray away, he retrieves us because he's guarding our souls as our chief shepherd. But not only does he guard our souls, number three, the Bible says he restores our souls. Psalm 23, if we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd, that's got to go there. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. Man, when we're out there straying away, getting beat up, seduced by the enemy, confused, disoriented, discouraged, the Lord not only rescues us from that, but he restores our souls in those green pastures and the quiet waters. And similarly, number four, the chief shepherd rescues us constantly. Matthew 9:36 gives us another glimpse of this. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Now, a downcast sheep is one who's stumbled and fallen over on its back and can't get right side up because of all that wool and those spindly little black legs dangling in the air, like a turtle on its shell, on the back of a shell with its legs up in the air. The turtle will die. The little lamb will die unless a shepherd comes along and helps him get right side up. This is when we're overwhelmed. This is when we're grieving. This is when we're saddened. This is when we're just stressed by the things of life. It's different than restoring our souls and guarding our souls when we run away and get seduced into sin. This is when we're just overwhelmed emotionally. And the Lord sees us, and with compassion, he says, blessed are those. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5. Isn't that cool? He rescues us constantly because we tend to stumble over and fall on our backs and can't get ourselves right side up. Love that. Well, number five is how the chief shepherd speaks to his own. All right, he will come for us. He guards our souls. He restores our souls. He rescues us constantly. He speaks to his own. John 10. Verses 3 and 5, and the sheep listen to his voice, and they know his voice. And I just love how the Lord is constantly speaking to us. Whispers, always. We just let the noise of life drown out his whisper, or the noise from inside our heart drown out the whisper. But he's always speaking to his own. And the more we, like the scripture says in the Psalms, be still to know he's God, when you get still and quiet the noise of your heart and keep out the noise of this world to listen, you'll hear his whispers because he speaks to his own. Number six, he calls us by name. The chief shepherd calls us by name. John 10, verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Doesn't it make you feel like $1 million when the principal of the school or the president of the company or the coach of the team or a local legislator or somebody important knows your name? Well, the Lord God knows and calls you by name. He's that personal. And then number seven, the chief shepherd saves us as the door. John 10, verse 7, Jesus says this, I am the door of the sheep. Then verse 9, if anyone enters through me, He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So we have a double metaphor going on here. One is the chief shepherd, but he said, but I'm the door. I'm the way to salvation. I'm the way to heaven when you die. When you die, death is not an end. It is a beginning. It's not a grave. It is a door. And I am the door. And it's through me that you enter into eternal life with me forever. So you don't have to fear death. Jesus is not only right there, he is the door to the better life. Now we come to number 8. Also in John 10, as we keep reading, it says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and they would have it abundantly. This is a memory verse and it's a wall plaque and many a Christian bookstore for good reason. It's a wonderful promise. The enemy, the thief, Satan, his minions, they want to steal our joy. They want to steal our peace. They want to steal our love. They want to steal our security in the Lord. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is saying, I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. So here's number 8. For those of you that are note takers, our 8th of 10 takeaways is that the chief shepherd gives us abundant life. Gives us abundant life. Well, that's a marvelous picture. It's a marvelous image and feel. But what does that look like? You ever wondered about that? What does abundant life look like? Well, it's twofold. One is it's the life that we have left here on this planet called Earth once we become saved. And it's that life that we have left that will end either in Jesus coming again to take us up with himself, or we physically die, but our spirit immediately goes on, as we just mentioned a moment ago, through the door to heaven, and there's that abundant life. So let me look at that a little bit more carefully. Let's do the heaven one first, because I want to spend a little bit more time on the earthly one, because that's where we're living right now. But when we go to heaven to be with the Lord, there are some great books about this that have been out over the years, and excuse me. But the short version is, don't think about, you know, puffy angels, puffy clouds, and harps, and music, and choir singing, and that's eternal life forever and ever, amen. You know, will there be something like that? Yeah, sure, there'll be music in heaven, and worship, and the angels, and yada yada, we'll be doing that as well. I'm not diminishing it in either way. Worshiping the Lord throughout eternity, seeing him face to face, where it just wells up inside and comes out. I mean, we get glimpses of that here on earth. I was at one of our churches yesterday, invited to preach, and the worship time was extraordinary. The worship team had a way of just drawing us into a sense of being in the presence of the Lord to offer our praise. We weren't just singing songs. And when you, if you have a church that is able to do that and does that, oh, savor it. It's wonderful. Very important. Heaven, abundant life, which is our eternal life forever and ever, will have tons of worship to be sure. But we're going to have physical bodies. The Bible says we're going to have a physical body when we get to heaven. We trade in these old ones that are decaying. Scripture says, though our outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. And so we will be given a brand new body when we get to heaven. It'll be a physical earth, a physical experience, not just spiritual and all. And there'll be all kinds of things going on there. But that's another sermon. That's another series. But that is part of the abundant life. But the abundant life also begins here. The moment you say, I do, to the proposal from Jesus Christ to be his bride or to become his son, to become daughter, all kinds of metaphors in the scripture for this. The moment that happens, our abundant life begins on earth. Our eternal life begins there and will go on forever and ever. So while we're still on this temporal planet, pardon me, got a little drainage going on here. While we're in this temporal life, we will deal with sinus drips and stuff like I am right now. That's just part of life. All kinds of diseases and injuries will take place, you know, and, And Jesus is our healer. But let's be honest, sometimes he chooses to heal miraculously and suddenly for some, but others, we go through the process and we get doctor care or surgeries, whatever. That's all part of the mix. How is that abundant life? And what about all these struggles in the world that we're having, the COVID thing that happens? And all around the world, there's all this famine and there's unjust wars going on and people being persecuted. That doesn't sound like the abundant life. What's going on here? Well, that's an excellent question, and it is a fair question. How do we reconcile the evil and suffering in the world with a verse like this when Jesus says, I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly? Well, the answer is, he calls us in John 15 to abide in him. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He wants us to be connected to him deeply so that we will bear the fruit. What kind of fruit? Like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. The other fruit that we will bear is love. What does love look like? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 says it's patient, it's kind, it's trusting, it's humble, it's gracious, it's sacrificial, it's peaceful, it's forgiving, it's truthful, enduring, and loyal. Are you getting the sense of abundance here? And also, as we're here, we're to speak and speak the truth in love to each other. And the scripture says in 1 Peter 4, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And Ephesians 4 says to speak the truth in love. And we are to grow in all aspects into him. And 2 Timothy weighs in 2 Timothy 2:24 about how to speak the truth in love. It says to be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, gently correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and and be rescued from the snare of the devil while they're being held captive by him to do his will. The Lord, when he calls you to be his son, his daughter, his bride, another scripture says his ambassador, you're speaking on behalf of a foreign power, and you're speaking the blessings and the abundance of God, that we can pray without ceasing, we can love above all else, we can serve others humbly as each one has received a special gift, employing it in service of one another, speaking the truth in love. That's the abundant life. When we focus on that, when we recognize the Lord is building us up powerfully, supernaturally, and internally, so that whatever the circumstances here on this earth for a little while until we go home to glory, we can be anxious for nothing. We can be at peace in the midst of the storm. To the degree we abide in Christ, he helps us bear the fruit of praying without ceasing, loving above all else, serving others humbly, speaking the truth in love. And that's what life is about. Whether you're in the slums of Kenya, whether you're in a war-torn country like Ukraine, whether you're in the United States that is in one sense blessed with abundance, but also cursed with abundance because we lean on our abundance and materially and all, but we have our own problems going on here. We're dealing with all kinds of things and sicknesses and financial uncertainties and all kinds of stuff, relational strife and heartbreak and betrayals and stuff. But listen, in the midst of that, you can experience the abundant life of Christ because internally you can be overflowing with the Spirit of the living God and recognizing that we're not here to be rich and famous and successful as the world says. We're here to be prayerful, loving, serving, speaking the truth in love to one another, pointing them up to the Lord Jesus Christ so people can abide in him to bear much fruit no matter the circumstances around you. My friend, prayer, the deepest result of prayer is not so much that we can convince God to answer our prayers and give us what we want whenever we want it. That's not it. That's a juvenile understanding of prayer. Prayer is what molds us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. Prayer is what helps us see things from His perspective, not ours. Prayer is what gives us His kind of heart that loves above all else and serves others humbly, to speak the truth in love and to pray without ceasing. That's the abundant life. That puts things in perspective. Wow. The chief shepherd gives us abundant life here on this planet, though it is a mess. And then once we go on to glory, an abundant life we cannot even imagine. Wow. That is our chief shepherd. But John 10 goes on and gives us a ninth takeaway about how he manifests his heart as our chief shepherd. And that is that he lays down his life. Number 9, he lays down his life. Listen to this in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. Well, he flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. Man, powerful. He lays down his life for the sheep. Well, obviously we have to go to the cross. The Lord laid down his life on the cross that it might be possible for us to be born again and saved. This is no small thing. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and grieved. The Bible says he grieved there. He was like sweat, like blood, sweat was pouring off. And Lord, he knew what he was going to suffer on the cross, taking on the sins of the entire world. Oh my goodness. We can't even imagine the darkness he must have felt facing that. Only the eternal God-man could know that. He went to the Father, Lord, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. And he willingly laid down his life to be beaten, to be hung on a cross, being totally innocent. And at any time, think about this, he could have called down a legion of angels and said, forget this. But he didn't. And he gave up his life. He laid it all down, taking on our sin, so that it could be possible for him to invite us to marry him and get in on all of his assets, meaning, I paid the price of your sin already. I have eternal life to give you. If you marry me, you get it. If you don't marry me, you don't get in on it. But you also get me. Oh, he lays down his life for his own. And as we wrap it up by saying that not only will he come for us, not only does he guard our souls and restores our souls and rescues us constantly and speaks to his own and calls us by name and saves us as the door and gives us abundant life and lays down his life, but finally we say, the chief shepherd knows us as his own. Verses 14 here in John 10 and following, I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows you inside and out. He created you uniquely, my friend. He knows your ups, your downs, your all arounds. He knows your strength. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your sin. And yet the scripture says, why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us, as we saw in number 9, because he sees how he can use us to reflect his love, his glory, his mercy, and his kindness to others. Oh, my friend, relish in the fact that the Lord knows you inside out. You don't have to posture. You don't have to perform. You don't have to prove to him that you're worthy of his love. when you marry Christ, when you get saved, when you get born again and you become his own, he knows his own. And he holds you in his hand. And it, scripture says it, and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. And even when you mess up as a new believer, will we mess up? Sure, we're going to sin. The enemy's going to seduce us. He's good at what he does. He confuses us, disorients us, hurts us, wounds us. And we do things we wouldn't normally do. But the Lord doesn't say, I said, I'm kicking you out of the family. No good father would do that. He doesn't say in the bride metaphor, well, if you're going to keep burning the toast, just get out. No. Once you're one, you are one. And he is there, always there. He's the good shepherd who has laid down his life for you. He knows you. He knows the good with the bad. But guess what? On a scale of 1 to 10, you are always a 10 to him, even when you mess up, especially when you mess up, because that's when his compassion sees you need him all the more. And we eventually discover we need him all the more. Oh, he knows his own. And we get to know him. That is our chief shepherd, my friend. Lord, I'm overwhelmed at this. It's just an amazing truth that you are our chief shepherd. And boy, the connection is so deep, so intimate. That is the abundant life. May we get on it more and more as we abide in you as our chief shepherd, as we abide in you in the vine, in the door, all the metaphors there. Because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Be sure to check out markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Chief Shepherd.